Harihi Om Sahanavavatu Sahanaubhunaktu Sahavirayankaravavahai Tejasvinavatitamastomavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so now it's time for the Rajasuya sacrifice. So Krishna and all the other great personalities have all come. Vyasadeva is taking charge of the yajna, overseeing the rituals and all that. Bhishma, Drona, and Kripa, they came, and everybody's asking for some service to do. They all, they all have that mood because of their affection for the Pandavas, and so then they're always then acting in this way. So then, here we continue. So, after consulting with Vyasadeva, right, because Vyasadeva is overseeing the whole thing, the technical points of it, and all what needs to be done. So he also knows everybody, and so then he will be able to give good advice. Yudhishthira asked Bhishma and Drona to oversee the organization for the sacrifice. So the rituals Vyasadeva is, but it still has to be organized when things are, where everything's are kept, how it's all coming. It's a big thing that when you're performing a sacrifice, if someone has all the ingredients and can get them to you, and as you need, they can bring, and what has to be moved or what has to be set up and all that, then they're seeing that. So between you see Vyasadeva and Bhishma and Drona, then everything is nicely taken care of. Dushasana was put in charge of food distribution. Ashwatthama was solicited to look after the Brahmins. Because right, when the Brahmins come, then you have to take care. Duryodhana, because means you come, you'll greet them, you'll sit them, you'll do all these kind of things like host. Duryodhana was appointed to receive all the gifts that were brought for Yudhishthira. And Vidura came, the master of the treasury. So everybody comes, you have to greet them nicely, take your gifts, thank them and all this, and then take them inside. And then Vidura will know what's coming in and he'll keep track of everything. Because you can't have one person having to do both, because if so many people are coming, you're taking care of them. And then what comes into the godown, that then Vidura will keep track of, because he'll have people assisting. All these doesn't mean that they're doing it on their own. They have people assisting them, but they're personally involved, personally overseeing. Krishna, with a desire to gain their blessings, personally undertook the task of washing the Brahmins' feet as they arrived. And then we have heard also that Bhima, he took charge of the kitchen, the cooking. Dushasana is distributing the prasad, but running the kitchen and cooking, that was Bhima. And then Nakula and Sahadev, when the day of the actual guests arriving, all the honored guests will come and sit inside, then Nakula and Sahadev, one will greet them and one will sit them. Because someone's off, he's off sitting them, then you can still talk to the person you're greeting, and then when they come, then you introduce them to Sahadev, and then he will take them to go sit. Does that make sense? So you need two, because otherwise, if you greet them and take them and sit, no one's there when the next guest comes. Because otherwise, if a few come like that, then you can still talk with them, and then he'll take, and then like this, he manages. So efficiency means how well people are received and dealt with, and the etiquette is followed. That's what you're looking for. See, is the difficulty is from in the modern kind of context, because the modern intellectual world, they use a philosophy called reductionism. And in reductionism, you reduce everything down to its just mechanical form. You want to remove the idea of individuals, persons, their feelings and everything, because they feel that gets in the way of their intellectual, combinations of possibilities. Because if someone has feelings, that you can't calculate. You know, someone will feel good today or not good today or happy today or not. You can't calculate. They want something you can always calculate. So the rock will always be a rock. You know, that, so they want to reduce it down to there and make it efficient. So in the same way is then in business world, they reduce everything down, just what makes money. Or administration, just what practically gets done. Or education, just what gets you to go through the curriculum or the syllabus. So the difficulty comes in the Vedic, you have to, the people are what's important. It's about personal relationships. God's a person. And so, therefore, all other living entities are individuals. So it's about relationships. You know, of course, it's relationships in the context of Krishna, but it's still the mechanical, what you're looking for is the medium of relationships, how well those are going on. And you have to, you know, and in the environment you're in. So it's not that it's sentimental, it's practical. So you have to be able to see is that all these Brahmins are taken care of, they get their prasad. For that, there has to be someone taking care of them, someone distributing, someone cooking. So you have to see all that, because the whole point is that the Brahmins will be fed. Not just, oh, the efficiency of the kitchen, the efficiency of the prasad distribution. Those will be there, but it's a matter of the satisfaction of the Brahmins and everybody else will come, because they'll feed everybody. You know, we're going to hear about the Brahmins being fed, but it's they're feeding all those Kshatriyas and everybody. Everybody's being fed. So, yeah. So efficiency means how well the relationships are going, and whatever is the task at hand, you're getting something done. Because you can say, oh, just relationships, don't worry about the task, or the task, don't worry about relationships. Vedic is you have to do both. Because otherwise, one's just dry and one's sentimental. You have to do both. In relationships, things are being accomplished. And why are we accomplishing things? Because we want to offer the results to Krishna. The sacrificial arena was soon crowded with effulgent rishis chanting hymns from the Sama Veda. Among the sages assisting the sacrifice were Bharadvaj, Gotama, Asita, Vashishta, Vishwamitra, Parasuram, Kasyapa, and many others who had descended from the higher regions of the universe. So you see, they're coming from all over the universe. Because as we saw, is that these greatly pious kings and all that, they're only going to Pitri Loka, which is the moon planet. But to get to the higher ones where Indra is, then we see Harishchandra was there because he did the Rajasuya sacrifice. And so that's a very rare thing. If all the kings are in Pitri Loka and only Harishchandra is in Indra's court, that means it's a very rare thing that happens. You know, it's just like to be Indra, you have to have performed 100 Ashwamedha yajnas, you know, successfully, no problems, gone through, and in one lifetime. You know, so it's serious work, because generally one sacrifice would take a year, because you have to start at the auspicious time to get the ingredients set up and everything. Then once everything's set up, and that can take months and months and months, like the Soma Yajna, it takes 9 months to build the Yajna Kunda. Not that you could, of course, you could probably put it together in an hour and a half or something like that, but the point is it's being built with 10,000 bricks that are handmade. You start at a particular nakshatra and start making them. So the Brahmin who's making them, he makes all the square bricks or rectangular bricks. His wife makes all the triangular bricks. So they work together. Those have to dry. Then at the next auspicious time, then those are placed for the kunda. And so there's five layers, or you know, and so then you have to all those have to be made, 10,000 handmade bricks over that time. So it takes 9 months to put it together because of all the particular timings and everything like that. And we think we're being ritualistic because somebody got out someplace and, you know, put a bunch of sand and started putting some designs and all that, and oh, this is so ritualistic, but, you know, it takes, you know, half an hour. Like this. This is 9 months. Then you're going to actually perform the yajna, and those can take so many, you know, days and days, weeks, months, like that. So you can therefore only do one ashwamedha yajna a year. You can't do more. And so therefore you do 100 of those. So then that's special. So here one Rajasuya, then you basically is getting the same kind of effect. So therefore we see as great personalities from all over the universe came. One is because it's such a great special ceremony, but two because of Yudhishthira, who he is, and the Pandavas, they're great devotees. And Krishna is there, so who doesn't want to come? Right? If Krishna is going to be the Yajna, who wouldn't want to be, you know, any of the Brahmins of the universe, they'd want to be there. The celestials seated upon their shining chariots came in person as the offerings of ghee were poured into the fires with utensils made entirely of gold. Right, so as they made an offering to a particular devata, the devata himself would personally come on his chariot and accept. Right, rather than you just putting it in Jatavedas, means that Agni just carries it to them, they would personally come and accept that offering. And the utensils are made entirely of gold, everything. And there's lots of utensils. For these kind of things, there can be, you know, huge amounts of utensils, because everything's made, what you pour into the fire, this, you have to make all the cakes that are offered into the fire, so these, and the grinding of things, and then the different shapes of the spoons for different offerings, there's different shapes of spoons and sizes of spoons and everything. So that was all gold, so that's why they need a lot of stuff. Before everyone's eyes, the gods, headed by Brahma, Shiva, and Indra, took their places in the arena. The gold platforms around the sacrificial arena, being crowded with celestials and rishis, looked as beautiful as the sky studded with innumerable stars. I mean, this is an event. Everyone in the universe, you know, we hear about this is one of those events of who's who, you know, it's just like everybody is there, whoever is the big names, it's such an event, you know, like that. But this is this kind of event, this is who's who in the universe. Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Prajapatis, all the great sages, you know, everybody's there. Nard Rishi attended the sacrifice and he gazed in wonder at all the personalities in attendance. Right? Because generally you won't see all these people in one place at one time. You go to Brahma's court, you won't see Indra and his crew and those. You go to Indra's court, you won't see Brahma and that. You go to Shiva's place, you won't see Brahma or Indra. So here is one place where they all are. That's very special. Amid the thousands of kings, he saw Krishna shining like the brilliant sun. Narada marveled at how the original Supreme Person was present on earth in human form. The Rishi knew that Krishna would be working out some divine plan. Right? There's something going on here. Because you have the whole universe here. Krishna's here. Even though it's not being managed by him, he's simply, as far as management goes, he's simply taking care of greeting the Brahmins and washing their feet. You know, that's what he's doing. And so, but he has some plan of, you know, the position of Yudhishthira, you know, how it's going to happen in the sacrifice. It's going to be something special. After many days, Yudhishthira was crowned as emperor, right? Because he's already defeated all the kings, or either defeated or they've accepted his imperial authority. And so then they all come there. Then now he's being crowned as the emperor. On the final day of the sacrifice, the Brahmins prepared the juice of the soma plant to offer to the great personalities in attendance. First they were to be worshipped with due ritual, then invited to partake of the divine beverage. Bhishma said to Yudhishthira, "You should now select the most important person at the assembly and worship him with argya," right? Because first they would worship with due ritual everybody who's there, but they start with who's the most prominent. Right? That was, for Yudhishthira Maharaj, that was the most important point of this whole sacrifice. Because then, out of everybody there, Krishna will be chosen for that. So that means he's the supreme personality of everybody in the universe. So for him, that's some serious preaching. The guru, the priest, the relative, the snatik, the friend, and the king, these six all deserve this worship. Therefore, worship all these kings and Brahmins, starting with whoever you consider foremost, right? So the guru will be worshipped, or any of the, you know, the guru or any of the gurus that are there. So many gurus are would be there. The priest, you know, so amongst the priests, so that's Vyasadeva and all these other great priests, Bharad, Raj, Gotama, Asista, everyone. Then the relative, then, you know, you have so many relatives there. It can be your parents are the senior most, or Bhishma, being the senior most, like this, but then you have all these davatas who are coming which the line goes back to. So that would mean in the line, then you're coming down from the sun, so then the sun deity would be. The snatak means the Brahmins who have graduated, because that means that they've studied, they've finished their studies, so that's acknowledged, people respect that. The friend, you know, whoever is the best, you know, in the qualities he is, and the king. And so many kings are there, thousands of kings, all the demigods are also the kings like this. So these deserve to be worshipped, so they'll all be worshipped, all these six groups. So now amongst all those kings and Brahmins, then which one is the foremost, you start there, then you go down. Yudhishthira asked his counselors who they felt was fit to receive the worship. There was some uncertainty. Some suggested Brahma, while others Shiva, and some Vyasadeva. Right, because all of these, right, Brahma is the original in the universe, but Shiva at the same time is, you know, because of his greatness as a devotee. Then Vyasadeva, because he's the incarnation of the Lord to compile the Vedas. So of the Brahmins, then he's got the most, you know, important job to establish that, because if that's there, the Vedic culture goes on. All the practice of pious activities goes on, then everything works nicely for the demigods. Yudhishthira then asked Bhishma, "O Kuru chief, who do you consider to be the best of all those present here today? Who should receive the first worship, the Agra Puja?" Bhishma replied, "As the sun shines among all luminous objects, so Krishna shines among all kings. He is without the most worthy of the first offering." Right, so all these great personalities, just like you, the sun is there. You may have the moon, which is very great, but still the sun is more. You know, and you have the stars, but then the sun is more. So you see, is at night the moon is prominent more than the stars. But the stars meaning your main planets, they're going to be more prominent than just the general, the nakshatras. And then there's so many stars and like that, it goes back. But if the sun's out, then it's prominent more than any of these. So his point is, therefore, Krishna is the one. Yudhishthira agreed fully, as did Sahadev, who, on Bhishma's command, stood up and announced to the assembly. Right. So now that point comes, so then naturally there's going to be a discussion, and people are cool with a discussion, because you want to do things according to authority. So the king, he won't just say whoever he likes, he's going to ask his authorities, he's going to ask his Brahmins, his priests. You know, Bhishma is the senior most like that, so for the administration, and he knows, he has the most experience like that. And so then once Yudhishthira, now once it's decided, it's still the king who decides. That's the far out thing of the Vedic management, is that the Brahmins and all that are senior. The Kshatriya listens to them, but the point is they give their advice. It's not that they tell him what to do. They tell him what their understanding is and what they would recommend. Then the king, on his own, then sees that, sees the logic of it, accepts it, and then he commits himself to it. So it's a very, very, not very well understood system. Because it's like, okay, if they're in charge, they just tell him what to do. Or if he's in charge, he doesn't have to listen to them. No, he listens to them. He makes the decision. Then making the decision, he's the authority, because he's taking the responsibility. This idea of authority without responsibility. You know, so in other words, the senior people have the authority and then the junior has the responsibility. No, it's that he makes the decision, he's the authority, he's responsible. They're his authority, but he's the one that's doing the sacrifice. He's the Yajaman, not them. Brahma's not the Yajaman, or Vyasadeva's not the Yajaman. That's Yudhishthira. So what he decides, that will work. He decides well, then things go nice. He decides badly, things go badly for him. That's why he must keep good people to ministers to ask and get proper direction. So now Sahadev is announcing, "Emperor Yudhishthira would like to offer the Agra Puja to Krishna. Even though the principal gods are present, they are all subordinate to Krishna. He is the ultimate goal of all yogis and ascetics who aim for self-realization." So all the means the gods are, that means all the kings. Now the kings aren't going to say, I'm going to be the important one, since the demigods are there. The demigods are there. They're the you know, kings of the universe, you could say. And so then that they are there, but they're worshiping Krishna. And, you know, so from that, by performing their activities in karma yoga, they're doing that for Krishna. The great sages are performing their karma yoga to realize Krishna. So that means the best of the kshatriyas and the best of the brahmins, the focus, the ultimate goal is Krishna. But what need is there for me to speak of his glories, right? Because he's just so well known. But, you know, it's also a poetic way to just point out that it's so important. All you exalted personalities are well aware of Krishna's position, right? All the exalted ones are. We will see that a few are not, means they're not so exalted. Indeed, Krishna is the supersoul of all. Therefore, by satisfying him, we will satisfy all created beings. So if they satisfy Krishna, everyone there will be satisfied. Otherwise, if you satisfy someone else, maybe everyone's not satisfied. But with Krishna, then that's everyone. Sahadev continued to glorify Krishna for several more minutes. When he stopped speaking, the rishis, celestials, and assembled kings resoundingly approved. Like that. So you see, rishis, celestials, assembled kings, they all. So the rishis and celestials, so everyone from the higher planets, they all agreed. All the assembled kings agreed. Seeing his decision confirmed by the Brahmins and gods, Yudhishthira began to worship Krishna. Right? So he's come to the conclusion, he's announced it, everybody said, because all these great personalities, they might say that there's something else. So then, okay, we'll deal with that. We'll consider. Tears ran from his eyes and showers of flowers fell from the sky as he offered Krishna the Argya and the Somarasa. So that means the demigods are pleased. They are showering flowers while he's doing this worship. Everyone cheered and stood in respect as Krishna was worshipped. But a few monarchs had not agreed. So that means the earthly kings, a few of them didn't agree. Shishupal in particular was outraged, and he remained seated while the offering was made to Krishna. Right. So we'll see Shishupal and a few of his cronies, his friends. They don't agree, but I mean, compared to whoever else in the universe, it's like, who cares? But for the pastime, this will be some fun. He was seething, right, seething, just very, very angry. Krishna was his sworn enemy. Shishupal had once been about to marry the beautiful Rukmini, but Krishna had kidnapped her on her wedding day and married her himself. From that day forward, his enmity toward Krishna had only increased. So that means before that, since he was a child, he was always inimical to Krishna. You know, that basically, you know, some of his first words as a child were finding fault in Krishna. You know, so just he's always been. So that's why it said it increased. This offering honor was too much to tolerate. He suddenly leapt to his feet and began to shout angrily, right while it's going on. All this is going on. Everyone in the room accepts Brahma, Shiva, all the demigods, all the great kings that are there, all the great sages. But because of the demoniac nature, he can't accept that. He thinks it's wrong, therefore it's wrong, rather than, I think it's wrong, but all these people are accepting, so maybe I should change my perspective. So now he leaps up and shouts, surely destiny is supreme. Otherwise, how could this injustice have occurred? How could those present have been influenced by the words of a foolish boy, meaning Sahadev, right? Because he's the youngest of the brothers. I cannot agree with Sahadev's statements. There are many personalities here much more worthy of the worship than Krishna. The great rishis, the gods, and all of earth's kings are present. Krishna is not even a king, right? Because they want to take it back to he was a cowherd boy, right? He is nothing but the son of a cowherd man. We cannot even ascertain his caste or social position. He seems to care nothing for Vedic injunctions and principles. How then can he be worshipped in this assembly? So even as he says all these things, because he is Jaya, Jaya Vijaya. So then we see is that he's even saying these things. It's not even a king. No, because he's above a king. He's not just at a post he has duties to do. He's above. He's playing the pastime of a king. He's nothing but the son of a cowherd man. But means in Krishna's mind, he identifies himself as son of Maharaj Nanda. So he's exclusively focused in Braja on that kind of loving exchange of Nanda Baba and the residence of Vrindavan him. So it's, you know, expressing the highest focused devotion that there is. We cannot even ascertain his caste or social position because he's transcendental. Seems to care nothing for Vedic injunctions and principles because he's the source of them. How then can, and so then he says, how could they be worshipped? Yes, so now we're going to see that Shishupala will give his whole, you know, discussion. Because he can go on unlimitedly insulting Krishna. But because, you know, I think he's a cousin. So then his mother, or Krishna's aunt, then she asked Krishna to please tolerate 100 insults before you do something. So generally in something, if they're in the house and they're around that, they may start up, but before, you know, easily, you know, after a few, someone's going to tell them to be quiet. Like that. So it'll never be dangerous, but we'll see in this assembly, then, you know, things become dangerous. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.